So anyway, so the book is out. It's on Amazon. And Doug, I need to hear from you. How does it look? Is it thick enough? I haven't even gotten a copy yet. So I emailed my publisher, and I'm like, "What's the deal?" You know, I never dreamed that I needed to like tell him that, hey, you know, I'd like to have some copies first before it comes out on Amazon. Okay, so Doug says it looks great. I was worried about it being too thin. Does it look too thin? He said it looks great. Okay, good. Doesn't look too thin. So, Doug, do me a favor. If it's any good, if you'll go up to Amazon and give me a review. In fact, we're going to do an Inner Circle launch. But since you guys are in the Dreaming series, if you want to get the hard copy of this book, it's actually a paperback. But if you'd like to get the book so you can have it on your shelf, do that, and if you'll give me a review, we're going to do some sort of special offer for Inner Circle members. Probably next week I'll release that, and then we'll have like some bonus items and things like that. But what we want to do is we want to release it to our Inner Circle members first, let you guys put some reviews up there, and then we'll do a launch like later in the month. And so what we'll do is we'll have a way of blessing you back for doing that and for doing that review. But since you guys are on the Dreaming webinar today, then you get to be the first to get it, maybe even before me. All right, and if I can get my staff to check the questions, I've got someone that needs the phone number to log in on the webinar. And thank you, Sherry, for ordering. She's ordering right now. All right, so here's what we're going to cover during the webinar series. The first step is to create the dream. Now, we talked about that last week or last time we met, and that is recorded, and you can review that. I will review some of that today, because creating the dream many times is kind of the hardest part, and I want to review that and make sure that everybody's up to speed on that, even if you were with us on the first session, and even if you're at the Destined Dream Retreat, it bears repeating some of what we talked about on the last webinar and in Destined. But then the other thing that I'm going to share with you today is I'm going to share with you a process that I learned from one of my early mentors that I don't talk about very much, but it's a thinking process that you'll be able to use in your dreaming process, and it's also a process that you'll be able to use to have more effective meetings, especially if you have meetings that tend to get bogged down, or you have like long business planning meetings and things like that, or if you're on any kind of committee or anything like that. I'm going to teach you a thinking process that can be used for your own brainstorming as well as for your meetings and those kinds of things, all right? Number two, we're going to talk about testing your dream. I'm going to walk you through the outline of Put Your Dream to the Test, John Maxwell's program, Put Your Dream to the Test. I'm certified to teach that. We did a series on that at one of our events. We did a small group. I think that was last year sometime. I think Doug was in that group. So we'll talk about that today too. I'm going to give you 10 questions to ask about your dream. And so the whole thing is about making sure that you're creating the right dream to start with. And sometimes I think that that's the hardest part. In fact, speaking of John Maxwell, when he wrote that book, he assumed that everybody had a dream, because so many successful people, in fact, I'll give you a stat on that here in just a second, that successful people, you know, have dreams, and they go through a process of trying to reach those dreams, but the average person doesn't have a dream. And he realized that after he wrote the book and put the book out there, that most people can't identify the dream. If you can't identify the dream, if you can't create the dream, you certainly can't test the dream. So once you create it and start getting an idea of what it is that you want your destiny to be, get an idea of what you want your lifestyle to be, get an idea of what your dream is going to be, then you have to test it. And these 10 questions will help you test the dream. Third, the next time we meet, which I believe is 2 weeks from now, is we will learn how to track the dream. And throughout the process, you know, I don't expect you guys to get real clear, all of you, to get real clear on your dream right away. Some of you will have to go through a lot of soul searching and thinking about what your current condition is and what have you before you'll even allow yourself to dream. Others of you maybe have clear dreams. You know exactly what it is that you want to do. And that's one of the things that I'm blessed with, I guess, is I know what I want. And in Born to Win, Zig Ziglar said that that successful people know what they want. And so it's really important to come to a place, even if you're, you know, you kind of have this sense that, hey, God hasn't revealed all of what is going to happen or what he wants from me, and that's okay, because life is like a magazine and you never know what's on the next page. You never know what's going to happen. And Zig said that success is doing the best with the hand that you're dealt. You know, we're going to have circumstances, we're going to have issues, we're going to have big issues, small issues. Just this morning I was helping my wife because she had a little dinner party last night, and she had some ladies from church over. One of them's moving out of town, and her husband died last year, and so she's moving to be with her family and all of that, and I'm trying to be a good husband and serve and help and whatever. And so she tells me that they got a little teeny tiny spoon stuck in the garbage disposal, so I'm in there trying to get that thing out this morning and cut my finger open. And I don't think it's bad enough to get stitches, but that's a minor thing. But the thing is that, you know, it makes it a little hard to type. And, you know, when you got blood all over your keyboard, you're preparing for a webinar, that's a little bit of a problem. But you know, things happen. Bad things happen. Big things happen. And, you know, I just want to stress to you that sometimes, even though you have challenges, you have problems, and you have difficulties, and you get sidetracked, the fact is that sometimes just having that inspirational dream is what carries you through. You know, I always have a trip to the beach scheduled. I always have a trip to the beach, some trip, and that's what inspires me, is going to beautiful, creative, inspirational places. And so I always have something like that scheduled, because that motivates me to do a whole bunch of work and do a whole bunch of hard work in between getting to that dream. And the thing is that sometimes reaching for your dream is hard, and reaching some of those goals is hard, and you got to do hard work. You know, one of my dreams came earlier than I thought. You know, we're closing on our house in Destin on Friday. It's not the house on the Dream Beach. It's an interim house, but it's brand new. It's amazing. It's a great little house, and just been built. Nobody's ever lived in it. Brand new. But packing up all the stuff on a truck today to drive it down there tomorrow, how many of you know that when you're trying to stock a whole house, that there's a ton of stuff? You know? Nothing easy about that, and getting the utilities hooked up and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, and that's one of the things that we're going to talk about in testing the dream. But then we're going to talk about, how do you track the dream? How do you, over the years, I've done a few things that I think have just helped me keep track of, you know, how I'm doing on that dream, and I'm going to show you some of those things as well. Number four is reaching the dream. And number five is living the dream. So these are the things that we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. All right? Now, again, going back to the book, Think and Be Phenomenal, when it comes to intentional dreaming, the more phenomenal dream you have, the more phenomenal the destiny is that you're going to reach. And the thing is that we all have a destiny. I believe that we were all created for a specific purpose, a specific plan in life, and so much of life is simply discovering that dream, beginning to walk in that dream, and beginning to realize that dream. And it's different for all of us. It's not a house on the beach for everybody. And as I shared in the first session, that the house on the beach is just a big personal goal. It's a personal dream. It's a personal challenge. It makes me work harder and do more for other people so that I can reach that dream. In other words, if I make money to you know, buy that property, build that house, and do all the things that I need to do, then I have to help more people. It's just as simple as that. When you really understand business, you understand sales, you understand what Zig Ziglar said, is that you can have everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what it is that they want. And the fact that if you don't have everything that you want in life, it just simply means you're not helping enough other people. Now, some may have a different calling, a different dream. My calling is to help small business owners. I have a dream, my impersonal dream, my dream that will change the world, I believe, is our Glocal program. And, you know, it's so awesome to see that. I feel called to that. It's been a vision for a long time. And it's so awesome to see people, like people who are right here on this phone call, on this webinar right here, like Sherry and like Dimitri, and I hope I don't leave anybody out, that are in Glocal, that are helping me do that. I had a man who called me last week. One of the things that I teach you all to do is referral marketing. And so I sent out to a number of potential referral sources a send out card and brownies about, you know, helping each other when it comes to phenomenal products and my events and helping business owners. And so one of the men who got that box of brownies and the card called me, and he's been in network marketing for 20 years, and I assumed that the conversation would be the same as it has been in the past, which is, hey, let me come and speak at your conference, and you know, if he gets anybody if I go speak to anybody, it's going to be network marketers, which is okay, but not really our target market. And I just assumed that the conversation would be the same. But I reached out to him. I know that he knows a ton of people. He's helped me to get in front of some other groups where I've done real well, and so I want to add value to him. But I just assumed that the conversation would be the same. And we sit down at dinner, and he begins to tell my story verbatim. You know, where, you know, the whole story. Howard's originally from L.A., grew up with 7 kids, crammed a little 600. I mean, told the whole story, and I'm thinking, why is he telling me my story, you know, reciting it word for word? And then he says, you know what, I heard about your Glocal program, and I'm looking for something new to do. I want to be not only a local director, but an international director, and he's really involved in BNI. And so it's just really strange that I'm reaching out to BNI International. I interviewed Ivan Meisner before, and he wrote, by the way, one of the best referral marketing books ever written. It might not even be in print anymore, but it's called Business by Referral, and just a book that we don't talk about very much. And even if you're beyond BNI, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal book on referral marketing. And so I've been reaching out to them, and lo and behold, this guy calls me. He's a local director and wants to get involved in Glocal, and he's going to go up to Ziglar with me here in a couple weeks. So what happens is, when you're called to something, and you finally begin to discover that calling and you get that dream in your mind and in your psyche and you start praying about it, you start creating it, you start thinking about it, then all these people and all these resources start coming your way because it is your destiny. And last night on our John Maxwell call in our little group call, he was talking about how, you know, if you pursue dreams that are outside of who you are, then it's not going to work out very well and your life isn't going to be as fluid as it could be. And so it's so important to discover what that destiny is, discover what that dream is, discover what that calling is. And the hard part about it is that maybe God isn't ready to reveal it to you yet. So what do you do then? As I shared with you guys last week, what you do is you take out that wheel of life and you simply look at every spoke on that wheel and you think about how you can be a borderline 11 on a scale of 1 to 10 on all 7 of those spokes. And you start working on that because I think you would agree with me that if we could be a borderline 11 on every single spoke on that wheel, that life would be pretty phenomenal. We would feel like we're living a dream. And I believe that we're supposed to be successful in all 7 of those areas. I mean, after all, which of those areas are we supposed to be unsuccessful in? So when we begin to think about things in a different way, we begin to change what we believe. And when you believe that you can reach a goal, when you believe that you can reach a dream, then you're going to expect to reach that dream. And that's going to change your attitude. You're going to feel differently about life. You're going to feel differently about dreams. You're going to then change your behavior. We just did an event in Las Vegas and had so many people just give us so many, you know, wonderful words of gratefulness and favor and everything. And we got an email from one of the folks that was there and just say, thank you for giving us hope. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know how to do it. And so now we have hope. And you know, that's what Zig always said, is that Ziglar is a dealer in hope, that people need hope, they need encouragement. And so when you change your behavior, then you change your performance. When you change your performance, you change your life. So watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words because they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character because it becomes your destiny. See, your destiny is really a result of who you are. So are you a person who has dreams? Are you a person who believes that you can be a borderline 11 in all 7 of those areas? Are you a person who believes that you can get to where it is that you want to go? And so your thoughts are going to determine your destiny, and the most awesome, most phenomenal thought of all is that ultimate phenomenal dream. Your phenomenal dream determines your phenomenal destiny. So the reason we talk about thinking so much is because when you begin to understand human behavior, you begin to understand how the brain works. Whatever you concentrate on, whatever a human being sees, a human being does, and it becomes a process of only allowing the thoughts, the constructive thoughts, into your mind rather than the destructive, emotional, conditioned thoughts, the thoughts that we picked up like germs off the street as we were growing up because people said the wrong things to us. They said destructive things to us, or they treated us badly. I'm reading a book right now called The Road Less Traveled, and I'm sure that, you know, it comes from a psychiatric background, and I'm sure that, you know, when it comes to knowing God, that that I'm not going to agree with much of what's in that book. But what I do know is that the brain, the mind, is designed in such a way that when you focus on a certain thing and you allow that allow your mind to dwell on something, it's going to manifest. And one of the greatest secrets that I learned from Zig Ziglar was that idea that what you plant in your mind has a way of burning into your subconscious and causing you to do things that you're not even aware that you're doing. And so as I was reading it this morning, it was talking about a man, a patient that this psychiatrist had, and how he was treated as a young man, of course, is what has produced the actions and the beliefs that he was carrying out in his life at that time. My wife got a phone call from a friend this morning who her son is a drug addict and just got kicked off the basketball team, broke the windshield in the car. It's just his dad died of an overdose a few years ago. He's an angry 17-year-old. And so what's going to happen is, unless he is able to get some new thoughts and some new beliefs in his mind, what's going to happen is those emotions will continue to affect him. In a very negative way. Brian Tracy said, the law of concentration states that whatever you dwell upon grows. There's a wonderful teaching from a lady, her name is Dr. Leaf. I forget her first name now, but I started seeing her on Christian TV, and I keep that on during the daytime, and there's a lot of good stuff. And just going downstairs, I pick up a lot of good stuff as I just go downstairs to make lunch or whatever. And as she shows the human brain, it literally looks like the thought patterns really look like a tree. It looks like a plant. So Brian Tracy said, the more you think about something, the more it becomes part of your reality. And he calls that the law of concentration. Now, of course, in Think and Be Phenomenal, there are five levels of being, and this is important for us to work through as we're thinking about our dreams. First, we've got to become aware that there is more. We've got to become aware that, hey, I do have a dream, and here's what it really is. Number two, we got to be willing to change. We got to be willing to change the things that we do, maybe let go of some of the things that we are emotionally attached to that aren't constructive for us, and that's a hard process. And many people aren't willing to change because of all that they fear that will go with that. You know, maybe some of the folks that we're hanging out with aren't the best influence on us. Jim Rohn said that you're going to be the net sum of the five people that you hang out with the most. And so that's why it's so important to do what you're doing now and learn from people who, like Zig Ziglar and John Maxwell and Michael Gerber and those people who have figured this stuff out for us, and one another. Those of you who, that's what's so cool about our conferences, is getting around people who have already done what it is that you want to do. And then number three is controlled attention. We've got to focus on it and just continue to let our mind dwell on that and focus on the things that not only that we need to do, but focus on how we need to think and what we need to be. And I'm going to share with you some things, some more things to do as we go along, as you're tracking your dream and living that dream. And then finally is commitment, or fourth is commitment, and that's when you're getting to where you're doing things most often in the right way, and it's not as much of a struggle. And then finally is character, when it literally changes. You've been doing something a certain way so long that it becomes part of your character. And remember what I said earlier, what Frank Outlaw said, that Zig Ziglar put in the Born to Win book, is that when you change your character, you change your destiny. So if you're not heading to where you want to be, you don't see the destiny that you want or that you're called to out there in the future, then we have to change who we are. We have to change what we do. We have to change our values. And if we do see it, we want to continue to do those things, and we want to continue to do the things right, and then add levels to that. John Maxwell in our mentoring call last week was talking about adding levels as you go along. And I was thinking about when he was sharing that, not only adding more values to your life, but then I just started thinking about it as it comes to even like marketing. You know, we start out doing a little bit of referral marketing. We have a few referral sources. But what if it's a lifestyle? It's just part of who you are, that everywhere you go, everything that you do, you're just so, it's just such a lifestyle that you are immediately recognizing. You don't even have to go through the process anymore. You just immediately recognize, here's an opportunity for us to help each other, and you go through the process. I was on Facebook yesterday. Somebody said hi, and I thought, you know, I saw this person in Las Vegas, and I know that she's in touch with a lot of business owners in her area in Tampa, Florida. And hey, how do you feel about, you know, some ways we can help each other? And here's our referral reward program. Great. I'd be glad to promote it. Really believe in what you do. So it just becomes a way of life. John Maxwell said that a dream is an inspiring picture of the future that energizes your mind, will, and emotions, empowering you to do everything you can to achieve it. One of the things I want to share about this is not only that you need an inspiring picture, but if the picture isn't inspiring enough, and if it isn't phenomenal enough, it won't empower you to do. See, it won't get your mind and your will and emotion in such a way that it empowers you to do everything that you can to achieve it. If you don't wake up every day thinking about it, every day thinking about it, it's probably not a big, huge dream. It might be a wish. It might not even be a big goal. But you know it's a dream when you can't get it out of your mind. It consumes you. And now let's understand also that another process that we have to go through is making sure that it's fair to everybody involved. If you really learn and understand Zig Ziglar's goal setting process, that we got to make sure that it's fair to everybody involved, that we're not hurting anybody to reach our dream. If Denise wasn't in love with Destin like I am, then, you know, I would have to modify that dream, or I would have to wait on realizing that dream fully. And if it was going to cost me my marriage, if it was going to cost me my faith, then I would have to leave it on the shelf and just say, hey, you know what, that is not the right dream for me. So if you don't have a dream, then what you want to do is you want to get that wheel of life out and begin to think about how you would feel if you were a borderline 11 in all these areas. What would that look like? What would you have to do? What goals would you have to set to move up on this scale? And, of course, as you all know, I share very freely with you one of the things that really is like John Maxwell. He admits the same thing, that's really, really hard for me, is physical. And what's hard about it is I seem to do all the right things, but something's happening in my body that just ain't letting me get to where I want to get. Now, I'm not out riding 60 miles on a bicycle like Neil Atkinson is. So, well, that could be the very reason, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I'm trying to take a shortcut. I'm not willing to work as hard at that as other things. So that's just an example, and that might be the case for many of us on some of the other spokes that are maybe a little bit more difficult for us. All right. Speaking of life, life stands for living in freedom every day. And what does that freedom look like? What does it feel like? And I'm going to go through this section just a little bit fast because this is all on the first series that I, or the first webinar that I did in the series. But I want you to know that these are the things that you need to have in place to create that dream. You need a vision board. One of my first vision boards was this little post office in Seaside, Florida. And I kept focusing on that until I got that little condo down right down the street from there. The picture that was in my mind is driving my bike around Seaside with a little basket on it. And that has been the reality for the last 7 years, over 7 years, since January of 2007, when I was going through tremendous problems in my business. This poster right there inspired me and kept me doing the hard things and going through what I needed to go through to get there. And of course, then I had the dream of Stallworth, a lot that is right behind that house there. Man, I got an aerial video. One of our Inner Circle members who's a dentist has a drone, and we took that drone down there and took video all the way from, we like went up above the houses and looked at the view from the third floor, then we went down the beach and behind the house on the lake, and just, I have to show you that sometime. It's really awesome. So that's my vision board now. And then my impersonal dream, of course, my dream that will make a difference in the world is Glocal. And these are Inner Circle pods all over the world meeting in person. And this is a drawing, obviously, from using markers. And I learned this from Michael Gerber's Dreaming Room years ago when he used to do his Dreaming Room. I attended that weekend, and he had a big artist pad, and we all had like a whole bunch of colored pens, and we would draw out our dream. And of course, that was my dream there. Another exercise that you want to go through is your perfect day exercise. And so what you do on that is you put down, on a regular day. Now, you could have work days and free days if you like, but, where do you wake up in the world? Where do you, who are you with? What do you do in the morning? What do you do for breakfast? What do you do after that? What do you do at lunchtime? What's that ideal lifestyle? What do you do after lunch? What do you do in the evening? What do you do at night? And really pre-plan your ultimate perfect day. Again, keeping in mind things happen, and you may not live that day every single day, but how many of you know that if you don't have a picture of that, if you don't have it in your mind, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen by accident. So you spend a lot of time thinking about your dream, and as you begin to believe it, then you are going to change your expectations. You're going to expect that, well, hey, maybe some of this could actually happen, and you're going to keep working on it. You're going to start living some of that dream. You're going to start reaching that dream, and that's exactly what's happened with us. Now, I want to show you one thing that I didn't show you last time we were together, and that is if you're using the Ziegler planner. I was in Italy, and I was thinking about the Ziegler planner, and as I was doing my planner every day, I realized that just about every day that I was in Italy was a perfect day. And when I'm in Destin with Denise, every day is usually a perfect day. And what I mean by that is in Italy, we walked every day. And when I'm in Destin, I usually swim every day. I walk on the beach, I ride my bike, and I do things like that. When I'm in Houston, it's just a little bit more of a struggle because there's no, ride my bike around the circle, shoot baskets by myself. I know. There's plenty I could do about that. But the point is, and we'll get back to some of this when we start talking about tracking the dream, but there are 8 little checkpoints on the planner where you can evaluate how you did every single day. And I don't necessarily, I'm not consistent enough to do that every single day, every day in a row. And so sometimes a day or two might go by, but then I'll go in and I'll fill these in. So my whole year, every single day, I've checked these off. Now there may be one or two here or there that I missed. And I had one, there's another section in here that's up at the top, and it says make today worth remembering. And so I do a little bit of journaling. That's another thing that we'll talk about. And I kind of highlight, you know, the week. What were the significant things of the week? And I'll talk about the importance of that when we talk about tracking our dream. But I noticed up there in one of them, it was like the section up there, everything was blank. And it was like, I just put in make it today worth remembering. Obviously didn't use my planner this week. But pretty much every day I'm gonna have the check mark. So here's what happens: is physical, if I exercise, I'll check that off. Mental, if I did some reading or thinking that day, then I'm gonna check that off. And I mean intentionally thinking about, you know, projects and goals, and mainly reading. Is, you know, if I fed my brain, I listen to something instructional, which I do every day. Spiritual, did I read my Bible? Did I pray? And I read a chapter a day from the Word every morning and pray. Recreational, so typically if I did any kind of exercise, I'll, you know, check that one off also, because typically any exercise that I do is going to be, I'll consider recreational. But, you know, did you have any fun? Okay. Family, so if I'm traveling and Denise is not with me, I don't check that one off. Okay. If I didn't walk, I didn't do anything physical, I don't check that one off. Career, I check off career and financial pretty much every day, because I'm always working on my projects. We're doing well financially, we're reaching our goals, so I check those off every day. Social, if I'm home all day and I didn't see anybody except for Denise and Einstein and the dogs, then I don't check that one off. So as you can see, it's good, it's phenomenal to be in Italy or in Destin. Okay, and then one more tool that you want to have is the dream list, and this is in the Ziegler planner. You want to get good at using the planner because it starts with the dream. It starts with the dream list, and then you put your major goals. You put, you know, why you want to reach those goals, and then you develop your 4 goals or your phenomenal 4 projects, and you track those projects on a regular basis. So understanding how to use the planner is very, very important. And this way you can just go back to your planner. You can see your dream list. I have a folder where I have, you know, you've got the Wheel of Life in the planner as well. But I have a folder that has my all my goal stuff in it, and, you know, my inspirational pictures. And it has my disc profile, and I've got a whole actual file of all that kind of stuff in there, okay? And then, of course, at the Destin Dream Retreat, we talked about the bucket list. where you just think about, you know, this is a great way to kind of get started and just start dreaming a little bit, is to put some things down that you just always wanted to do that you haven't done, like maybe go to Italy or to go someplace in the world that you've always wanted to go. Now, I want to share two main things with you today. That was mainly a review, and I want to share two things with you today. One is a thinking process that comes from a book called The Six Thinking Hats by Edward de Bono. And the six thinking hats, the purpose of the six thinking hats is to give you a streamlined way of thinking about things or discussing things. So this is a process that can be used both in brainstorming for yourself. It's a process also that can be used in a meeting. And the testimonials from this process are absolutely astounding. Conferences where you know, people come to a summit or something, governments could definitely use this, but summits that would take, you know, 2 days were cut down into a half a day with this process. And in the beginning of the book, it gives these amazing testimonials of the process. And so I want to explain the hats to you and what the function of the hats are and how they work, because here's what happens. What happens is you start thinking about something, all of a sudden you go, oh, well, no, that's not going to work because of whatever, and you get stuck, and you know, you're going back and forth emotionally, you're going back and forth in your mind, there's no real format for thinking about things. You're in a meeting, you bring up an idea, and immediately it gets shot down because either someone has an agenda or they just have a different communication style and they can't see it. So it opens up the thinking, it opens up the communication, and here's how it works. Each of the hats has a meaning. I'll start with the white hat. The white hat is data. There's no opinions. It's neutral. It's just information. It's facts. It's what we know, what we don't know. Don't do Donald Rumsfeld on that, okay? But it's what we know, what we don't know, its figures, its dates, its clear goals and objectives. It's what we actually know to be truth. White is for truth. Doesn't matter how we feel about it, these are the facts. Now the yellow is, you know, what is positive, what is good. It think about the sun, think about brightness. This is, you know, like if you're going to think about an idea or something that you want to do, then what are all the positives? What are the benefits? What are the possible ways that we could do this? It's all optimism and all, you know, good things. So here's the cool thing. When you have one of these hats on, you can't go to the other hat. So if I'm talking about, hey, let's talk about all the benefits of, you know, what's good about this idea, somebody can't just put the black hat on and say, well, that's not going to work because of whatever. See, you have to stay with the yellow hat, and that allows you to get all the good and positive benefits out there on the table. And then green is creativity. This is brainstorming. It's possibilities. It's alternatives. It's new ideas. You know, what about this concept? And this is where green is creativity. So just think about growth and creation. And this is where you brainstorm. And no idea is a bad idea. And I often think of Joseph Michelli is going to be with us, and just an amazing guy. But one of his early clients right out of college was the world famous fish market, Pike Place Fish Market. And of course, they weren't world famous at that time. In fact, when Johnny Yokohama, I think is how you pronounce his last name, bought that fish market, it was a dump. It was unprofitable. He worked there. He didn't even want to buy it. The owner basically gave it to him. And so when Joseph came in, they decided to have a monthly dinner, and all they were going to do is they were going to discuss ideas and, you know, no bad ideas, just any idea that's shared. You can't shoot it down. We just have to roll with it, even if it's the craziest thing that we ever heard of. And, of course, at that time, most disagreements were solved by two of the fishmongers going out and having a fist fight. So it was an interesting kind of situation. Well, during that process, one of the guys said, "Hey, I got an idea. Why don't we be world famous?" And everybody looked at him like, "What have you been smoking?" And so everybody was like poo-pooing. What are you talking about? What are you, you know? And Joseph, I think, was a facilitator, and he said, "Hey, well, wait a minute. Let's go with it and see what we're talking about here." He said, "Well, okay, so what if we started?" So what came out of that is, what if we started just treating every single person, whether they're a customer or not, anybody who comes within, you know, earshot or eyeshot of our fish market, that will treat them like they're world famous. There's Sherry Perry. I can't believe it. Take a picture. Hey, can I get a picture with you? And so the amazing thing is that, you know, they're famous for throwing fish. And the reason that they started throwing fish to start with is because they were too lazy to walk all the way around the counter to go inside to hand the fish off to the other guy to pack it up. But then something amazing happened. The Special Olympics came to Seattle. And the cameramen are out there getting the shots of the fish market. They notice these guys throwing fish and treating people like they're world famous. And the Pike Place Fish Market became world famous. So you never know what's going to come out of a brainstorming meeting. Now, red is emotions, it's feelings, it's hunches, intuition, it's sometimes it might even be that people need to get something off their chest, okay? Sometimes, you know, as you get more experience being a leader, you know, you just get better at reading people, and you can tell that, hey, they're not buying this. So we might want to just put the red hat on and say, look, what's the deal? Okay, what's going on? And, okay, so let's get that out on the table. Let's acknowledge it. Let's recognize it. And then, you know, let's just trust the process, and if you still feel that way at the end of it, that's fine. But let's at least, you know, have the proper time and place for that, okay? And then the blue hat is actually managing the meeting. It's a transition hat. So the facilitator is the only one who wears that hat and manages the meeting. If you're brainstorming and thinking through, then you're wearing a blue hat when you're thinking about what you're going to think about and the process that you're going to go through. It's the rules of the meeting. It's controlling the process and those kinds of things. And then the black hat is the downside. It's what's bad, illegal, you know, bad about the idea, why it won't work. And then, of course, there's a place for that as well. Now, I love DISC, and I'm so excited that we're now connected with Personality Insights and Dr. Robert Rome, because I'm talking to their people about us becoming certified in DISC, able to actually do certified training with that. And we're going to have Dr. Rome come in and speak. I'm going to meet him in Atlanta in November when I'm down there with John Maxwell. And it's interesting because as you think about the different communication styles, if you're working on your dream together, let's say, with your spouse, with your family, or you're working on your dreams as a business, or you're having a meeting with your team members, well, everybody has a different communication style. And we have to value those communication styles. You see, what I had to learn is that a high D like myself that believes that anything is possible, which it is, and everything's possible, which it is, I had to learn that everything's not possible right now. And I had to learn that I got a lot of blind spots. So I need people like Michelle. I need people like Victoria. I need people like Santiago. I need people like Scott. I need people like Johan. I need people to help me see what I'm not seeing. And sometimes, especially a C, their gift is to see the problems. But if I'm over here as a C all by myself, you know, I'm not going to maybe do some of the things that might help me to be more successful faster. On the other hand, a high D, we're just pretty much, not rambunctious, but I can't think of the word that I'm thinking of. We're just destructive. You know, it's like reckless. That's the word that I'm looking for. So DISC out of D out of control can be reckless. C out of control can be too critical, too negative, and too rigid, if you will. And so that's why it's so important to also kind of incorporate all of that into this process. All right. So what I want to do next is I want to, once you get your dream, even if it's being a borderline 11 on all seven areas of life, we're going to now need to test the dream. I'm going to give you 10 questions to ask that come from John Maxwell's book, Put Your Dream to the Test, and then I'm going to ask you to share your biggest takeaway from today, and then we'll close from there. In John Maxwell's book, Put Your Dream to the Test, he shares four common reasons that people don't identify their dreams. The first one is discouragement. Maybe the people around you aren't supporting you, and this is what I love about my team is they know and they understand that when I reach my dream, that it helps them, and they're in the game. They absolutely love it. But you know, the fact is that there are going to be negative people around you that are going to ask you, "Who do you think you are?" You remember the story that of the group of small business owners that I was a part of early on in my career. I didn't even know Zig Ziglar, but you know, they said, "Who do you think you are, Zig Ziglar or somebody?" Why? Because I had enthusiasm. I had goals. I said, you know, we could do this. We could do that. I saw a bigger picture than they did. And, you know, sometimes we get discouraged because other people say, well, you know, what makes you so special? Well, I mean, who said you could do all that? You know, I mean, that's just a pipe dream. You know, you've heard so many people who have done great things talk about how they were discouraged by other people. One of the most inspirational presentations we ever had at one of our events was when we had Rudy. And, you know Rudy's story. And he wanted to go to Notre Dame, play football. He was too small, didn't have enough money. He worked at the steel factory where his dad had worked for years. Hey, that's a stupid dream. Why would you ever want to do that? Just do your job and just be like everybody else. Don't be stupid. Said there was a guy there that was counting off his years by every day. He brought his lunchbox to work and he had a banana as part of his lunch every day. And he took the little sticker from the Chiquita banana and put it on his lunchbox every day, counting down the days till retirement, In fact, I spent a whole day with Rudy in Zig's studio several years ago and interviewed him. If you don't have that and you'd like to have that, just go to IamPhenomenalSoAreYou.com. IamPhenomenalSoAreYou.com, the website that's on your bracelet, and you can download the audio and the transcript of that interview for free. But people around him discouraged him, but he didn't give up. He continued to focus on that dream. Maybe you've been disappointed in the past. Maybe you've been hurt in the past. And, maybe you've had some failures. Well, as Zig said, yesterday really did end last night. Today's a brand new day. Failure is a part of success. Maybe you've just settled that, hey, this is the way it is, so I'm just going to settle for, what I got. And then maybe there's a lack of confidence needed to pursue your dreams. There's a movie that I love to watch called The Edge, and I talked about this in my very first book, so you probably heard me say this a few times, but I think it's a great illustration. And Anthony Hopkins and Alec Baldwin were stranded in the Alaskan wilderness. Their little seaplane crashed, and they survived, and they were cold, tired, hungry, being chased by a man-eating bear that had already ate one of the other guys in their party. And the thing is that Alec Baldwin was convinced that they were going to die in the wilderness. And the billionaire character, played by Anthony Hopkins, said most people die out here because of shame. Because how could I get myself in this position? And he had also read books on how to survive in the wilderness. Very educated man. And so he chose to focus on what is required to survive. Other people have done it, so can we. And so he made him repeat, what one man can do, another can do. So the simple question is, to get some confidence, is this: is there anybody in the world that have overcome the challenges that you have and reached their dreams? And the answer is yes. I think about Nick Vujicic, I think is how you pronounce his last name. No arms, no legs. He's got a couple of toes. That's it. But became very successful in life and is very encouraging to others. There was a survey done of highly successful leaders, and 100% of them said that they have a dream. 95% of them said that they were frustrated at times in pursuit of that dream. 50% of them said that they had given up on at least one of their dreams. And 95% said that they had accomplished a dream. And the reason for that is because they didn't give up on dreaming. Even though they may have given up on one dream, half of them, they tried something else, and you just gotta find the way. Now, I don't know why I am about to share this with you right now, but I feel led to share this with you. There are some of you on the call right now that maybe you know, your business is growing and doing good, but to get that extra, you know, take it to the next level, one of the things that I did early on is I grew by combining other businesses with mine. Ellen Rohr teaches about acquisition. So I don't know who that might be for on this call, but remember that one of the ways to grow is to acquire other businesses. So if you have other businesses in your industry, they're probably frustrated, just like any other business owner. They haven't seen what you're now seeing, that what they can do. And sometimes you can acquire those businesses just on a percentage basis. And that's one of the things that I did early on. All right, so I don't know who that was for, but something to think about as you think about getting to your dream faster. Maybe part of that is you know, acquiring other businesses so that you can get your income where it needs to be. All right, so let's talk about putting your dream to the test. There are 10 questions in putting your dream to the test. The first one is the ownership question. The ownership question. The question is my dream really my dream? In other words, one of the things that you want to do is make absolutely sure that you're not trying to live out your parents' dream or someone else's dream, some expectation, that you're not trying to live out my dream. Okay, I'm blessed to lead you, and I'm so grateful that we're in this community together, but my dream isn't your dream. Your dream is not my dream. And there may be people that you respect that you know, you want to follow, but their dream isn't your dream. You know, people often told Zig Ziglar that they wanted to be the next Zig Ziglar, and he said, I'm sorry to hear that. Sorry to hear that. Yeah, because you don't have any chance of being the next Zig Ziglar. What? But you have a zero chance of that, but you, even including his daughter, somebody said that she should be the next Zig Ziglar. She said, well, you obviously don't know my father very well. If anybody sounds like him, acts like him, has the same mannerisms in speaking, she does, Julie does. But you have a 100% chance of being the best you that there is. You see, every human being has a unique fingerprint. The second question is the clarity question. Do I clearly see my dream? Do I clearly see my dream? And that's really why we're going through this process, because when you get that picture in your mind, when it soaks into your subconscious and you intentionally dream, you intentionally think about it, then it'll become more and more clear. And you might even just get totally blessed, and it just kind of sneaks up on you and surprises you and even comes early. That's what happened to me. And just between us, I may have shared this on the webinar on Tuesday, but all of a sudden I'm sitting here thinking to myself, we could completely move to Destin in the next few months, as soon as Denise you know, quits her job. Whether we will or not, I don't know, but we could. And then I'm thinking, well, maybe I should sell my house here in Houston. I think I get a little bit, you know, nervous for some unknown reason. See, there's things going on in the back of your mind that make you nervous or worried or whatever that you got to unpack, that make you scared, and you got to unpack that fear. What's the fear behind that fear? That's an exercise that you want to go through. What's behind that fear? Probably when you unpack it, it's probably false evidence appearing real, as they like to say. So do I clearly see my dream? If you don't own it, if you don't see it clearly, you're not going to reach it. The reality question, this is a really good one. Am I dependent on factors in my control to achieve my dream? Am I depending on factors in my control to achieve my dream? Although in some ways when it comes to reaching our dream, obviously if you have a dream and no team, you have to give up the dream or build up the team. You need a team to reach your dream. In some respects, you do need to rely on certain factors to reach your dream. But what John is really saying here is nobody's going to do it for you. It's not just going to happen. It's not just going to be some, you know, windfall. You're going to hit the lottery or the economy. It's just going to happen. And even when we're talking about building a team, so much depends, and running your business, so much depends on what you do and what you don't do. Whether you have a phenomenal team or not, some of that depends on how you treat your team. The passion question. Does my dream compel me to follow it? Does my dream compel me to follow it? Do you wake up thinking about it? See, you know, if there's no passion there, just thinking about it puts you to sleep. But if you're passionate about your dream, it wakes you up. You can't wait to get up and get started every day. That's when you know that you're on the right track. When you get up every day, you cannot wait to get started. You get up at 4 or 5 a.m. because you just can't wait to get working on the plan, which is the next question, is the pathway question. Do I have a strategy to reach my dream? And that's why the whole business planning process, the whole financial planning process, that we got to make sure we've got enough money to fund that dream. We got to make sure that we've got a team that can, that part of their dream is walking that journey with us. And we got that org chart done. We've got that business plan done. And we're doing the things. We have the strategies to build our vehicle, our business, that's going to help us achieve our life goals. The people question is number 6. Have I included the people I need to realize my dream? Have I included the people I need to realize my dream? That's going to be your family. That's going to be your team. That's going to be your mentors, your coaches. It's going to be the people that you serve, your clients, your mentees. Everybody should be a mentor in some way or another. The 7th question is the cost question. Am I willing to pay the price for my dream? And I suspect that this is one of the biggest reasons that even if we could bring ourselves to see it, to taste it, to smell it, to pursue it, that we run out of gas when we really see how hard it's going to be. and what it's going to actually cost us. I'm convinced that that keeps so many people from their dream. They're just not willing to do the things that they need to do. Dave Ramsey says, if you'll live for just a little while like no one else will, you can live the rest of your life like no one else can. And when you look at finances, what he really deals in is so true, that if you will sacrifice financially, you know, years ago, I wasn't willing to do some of the things I needed to do. I just wanted to kind of really enjoy my lifestyle. So I got credit cards with, you know, high interest rates. My lines of credit are all maxed out. And this is actually stealing my dream for me, because I was giving up, you know, my dream for, you know, convenience today. Now, I've later realized that if we work really hard on it, that we can have a little bit of both. We can have fun along the way on the ride to our dream. But the thing is that if you're not good with your money, it's gonna cost you more. But if you're willing to be good with your money and to invest it and to be wise with your money, one of these days you're gonna have enough money that you can do whatever you want to do. The eighth question is the tenacity question, and the question there is, am I moving closer to my dream? So as we talk about how to track your dream, how to continue to assess where you are, we'll find out how tenacious we are. This is something that I got from my mama in Alabama. That's the most tenacious person that I've ever met in my whole life. I mean, just you don't give up. There is a way, somehow, some way. She's tenacious. And one of the reasons that I'm even here doing this is because I just wouldn't quit. Then the ninth question is the fulfillment question. Does working toward my dream bring satisfaction? In other words, it's one thing to reach the dream and work hard along the way to get there, but we don't want it to be kind of like, you know, the guy with the Chiquita banana stickers on his lunchbox, that he's just like, you know, marking off the days in a miserable existence, and then finally he gets to retire. Does working on your dream fulfill you? Does working toward your dream bring you satisfaction? And then finally is the significance question. The significance question says, does my dream benefit others? And I have to tell you that building a big house in Destin on the beach challenged me on that one. And I remember talking to Jim Cathcart, which is another person I don't talk a lot about, but what a great guy that you can just learn so much from, and phenomenal speaker. Just a very likable man. He's really big in NSA. He's got all the professional speaker awards and certifications and all that. Just amazing guy. And I was talking to him about it. We did a webinar together once, and he said, you know what, Howard, think about this. Think about all the jobs. Think about all the people involved in building that house, maintaining that house, that are going to have income. And he actually helped me change my thoughts about, you know, making money and spending money. See, if you are spending money, not money that you don't have and not on credit cards, but if you're investing money into the economy, you're spending money, that helps our economy. It helps people have jobs, you see. And that's one of the ways that when you're financially successful that you can give back. He said, do you have to bring on more people and build your business to make that happen? I was like, yeah. And so he said, well, you know what? Guess what? You're, again, creating jobs and helping people, you see. And what are you going to do down there? Didn't you tell me you're going to be, you know, you're going to walk that beach and dream and think about helping more people and having an impact? You're not just going to hoard everything for yourself, right? And I had to admit, hey, Jim, you're right. Well, I don't know if you enjoyed this as much as I did, but I had fun sharing this with you guys today. I know we're 2 minutes over, so if you will, just type in your biggest takeaway from today, and we'll close. And thank you all so much for being on today. Someone typed in that I'm assuming this was on the acquisition. That was for me. Smiley face, thanks. All right, so what's your biggest takeaway? Acquire another business. I thought that might be for that person as well. So that was for two people. Excellent. Okay, what else? What's your biggest takeaway? Making a folder to review with all the good stuff in it. Excellent, excellent. I got so much from the dream test. Thank you, Carol. You know, Carol always should get a kind of an extra hand clap for being up at the middle of the night in Hong Kong and for coming so far to support us. We just love you so much, Carol. And, of course, I can count on Neil to type in something that I don't understand because he's so smart and I'm from Alabama. Your passion is our pleasure. Oh, I got it. Okay. See, he's such a friend. Biggest takeaway, talking about a dream is not enough. You have to stay plugged in and have an action plan. Excellent. Takeaway is I've got to find a way to get in the gym. Awesome. Daily, he added. All right, let me close with a little bit of inspiration. That is, our hero, Zig Ziglar, said this: you are what you are and where you are because of what has gone into your mind. You are what you are and where you are because of what has gone into your mind. You can change what you are and where you are by changing what goes into your mind. Thank you, Zig Ziglar, for that. Because, you know what? We're changed through our thinking. And we have the choice. We have the power to decide what we allow to stay in our minds. We have the choice. We have the opportunity. We have everything that we need to change, and it starts with by putting new things into our minds. So thank y'all so much. Our passion, Neil, is your phenomenal success. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.